In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, May 9th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore was ousted from office more than a decade ago over a Ten Commandments display and subsequently re-elected. Now, the God-haters are trying to remove him from the bench again, this time over his effort to block homosexual marriage from coming to his state. According to Fox News, the Alabama Judicial Inquiry Commission filed ethics charges on Friday against Moore, saying he abused the power of his office and displayed disrespect for the judiciary. The charges largely stem from a January 6th administrative order Moore sent to probate judges. In the order, he told them an Alabama order and law banning homosexual marriages remained in effect, despite the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to legalize homosexual marriage. If found guilty, Judge Moore could face removal from office. "We are certainly at war, Judge Moore. That's why we pray that you would put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Ephesians 6:13. It is what God is calling all of us to do. Nearly 9,000 people gathered to pray at the State Capitol building on Thursday in Nashville, Tennessee, with Evangelist Franklin Graham's Decision America initiative. With the theme of pray, engage, and vote, Graham reminded his largest crowd of the 50-state tour that Christians cannot restore America merely by rallying behind political parties. They need to repent and turn back to God themselves first, before God will heal the nation.
Let's look what Nehemiah did. He fasted and he prayed. And his prayer was to confess the sins of his people, of himself, and his father's family. And what I'd like to ask you to do is to hold the hand of the person next to you, maybe a complete stranger. And what I want to ask you to do is I want us to confess the sins of our nation.
A massive earthquake is well overdue along the San Andreas Fault Line in California, a seismologist told Fox News. With the string of earthquakes and volcanic activity around the Pacific from Japan, China, and Myanmar to Venezuela and now around Mount St. Helens volcano in Washington State, researchers are expecting a mega quake at any time, they said. Hundreds of billions of dollars worth of damage and thousands of deaths should be planned for, the report said. A Maine Harrier jet pilot was rescued on Friday evening off the coast of North Carolina after ejecting from the aircraft during a training exercise. After a Navy rescue helicopter and crew pulled him from the water, the unidentified Marine was transported to a naval hospital in Camp Lejeune. He was listed in stable condition. Rima Faqih, Miss USA 2010, the first Muslim to win the title, has reportedly converted to Christianity. According to Christian Today, Faqih converted from Islam in preparation for her marriage to wealthy and well-known Christian music producer Wasim Salibi in Lebanon next week. Faqih, who was convicted of drunk driving in 2012, drew more attention to herself when photos of her surfaced from taking part in a local radio station contest called Stripper 101. But now, she may have turned over a new leaf. Announcing her conversion to Christianity this week, she tweeted, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Philippians 4:13. Presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump said he agrees with the United Kingdom's decision to withdraw from the European Union. Meanwhile, conservative Republicans, forming what is being called the Never Trump Coalition, are reportedly in search of a third-party candidate. Pray for the Christians of Aleppo, Syria. Recent bombings that have killed hundreds, injured many, and devastated buildings have prompted people around the world to call for a special time of prayer, according to Open Doors. One Syrian priest, who described some of the latest attacks on Christians there, including the killing of a one-minute-old baby he called a martyr, said there are simply no words to describe the suffering. Making matters even worse in Syria, an airstrike hit a refugee camp on Thursday, killing men, women, and children. Pray for the many hurting and suffering in Aleppo, Syria. May the Lord comfort them in their time of pain. All Christians are connected together in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, "If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." And that's the worldview on this Monday, May 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. You have to admit, the worldview in 5 minutes is unique. Nobody else pairs the latest news stories with timeless scripture verses. The result? The Bible comes alive in the context of everyday news. To research, write, voice, and produce the worldview costs money. If you value what we're doing, vote with your wallet. We need 250 listeners to pledge just $20 a month by May 31st. Go to theworldview.com, click on Give in the top right corner, and check the recurring donation box. It's just 64 cents a day. We've spent thousands to get this going, and now we need you to help keep it going. Let's proclaim to the world that God is at work in everyday news.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, children 15 to 24 years of age. And Steve Vaughn, also in studio, pretty much tracking us, aren't you?
Yeah, we're 10 to 25.
Okay.
And six
okay.
kids. So
right.
So every 3 years we had one. And so yeah. That's kind of a nice,
divide. It was about every 2 years for us.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, my friends, we are raising our children in a post-Christian age, an increasingly paganized age in which the phrase "come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord," seems to have increasing relevance with each additional year. So, you know, we talk about culture and we want to bring this back to culture again and again. One of the reasons I wrote the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture, is because, wow, we need to be on our game. Got to be able to discern the cultural symbols around us. And you say, what are cultural symbols? Well, it's food offered to idols or symbols or signs that mean stuff. And it may come through music. It may come through movies. It may come through television. It may come through dress. It's just that worldviews are conveyed through culture. And it turns out there is no neutrality. And what you say, no neutrality, even when it involves the way I look, the way I dress, the movies I watch, the music I listen to, yes, these things convey culture, and culture conveys worldview, and worldview effectively sets you in the trajectory of one particular faith, religion, or perspective of life, reality, truth, and ethics. That's a mouthful, but you just got to read The Tattooed Jesus to get a feel for the import of culture. I think culture is more important than worldview just simply because we run into it all the time, and culture is inescapable. It's all around us. So if there's no book on culture out there that draws lines between worldviews and cultures, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, and that's why we published the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? So it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. Don't send your kids out there in milk bone pajamas. That would be a bad idea. Okay, be sure you're discerning. It's interesting also the flow of culture, and that's a point I make. Culture is very much like a river, and it goes somewhere. It's moving somewhere, and generally macro cultures tend to move towards waterfalls, as in the Niagara Falls. So it's always good to know where your river is headed. And friends, analyze your culture and understand your culture and try to understand the direction in which cultures go. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about Frozen and Frozen 2. We critiqued a bit of culture. It was 2-3 years ago when Frozen came out, because there were elements of that movie that moved in the wrong direction. And we critiqued it on several points.
And everybody was happy.
No, they weren't.
They weren't. That's right. I forget about that.
Because we pointed out that there was a bit of loose talk concerning forms of sexuality, including decadent forms of sexuality. I'm not going to go through the entire critique now. You can read about it in the book The Tattooed Jesus, because I effectively threw a flag on the play and said I think parents need to be aware of these things, and I received a bit of flack for that. But now, as it turns out, as culture continues to flow, there is a huge popular push right now to turn Frozen 2 into a full-fledged lesbian flick. And here's the hashtag, give Elsa a girlfriend. That's huge. It's all over the internet. Fox News covered it. People Magazine covered it. And WorldNet Daily covered it. If you just do a little search on Frozen 2, you're going to find that the internet is just awash with these encouragements from the Frozen fans to turn Elsa into a lesbian. So again, this is a concern that we pointed out in Frozen 1, that there was language, there was symbolic language, as in the born that way language, that seemed to be pushing towards the homosexual agenda. And I think it would have taken an idiot not to understand the signs of the day and what people interpret born that way to equate to in the modern mind. And friends, it should be obvious. It should be incredibly obvious, the symbols and signs of feminism and aberrant sexuality in Frozen 1. But of course, many parents disagreed, and they consider this to be one of the most important, one of the best movies for children of the last number of years. Well, as it turns out, the zeitgeist doesn't agree. If you follow the flow, follow the river of the zeitgeist, where are we headed? Well, How to Train Your Dragon 2 moved Hiccup's mentor, that is the little boy's mentor, into a lifestyle of homosexuality and pulled him out of the closet as a homosexual, as did Harry Potter's mentor, Dumbledore, in the year 2007. What was that? What, some 10, 15 years after Harry Potter became extremely popular amongst tens of millions of little boys and little girls around the entire world. So here, this is how the powerful principalities and powers will turn an entire world towards accepting the aberrant lifestyle of homosexuality. Friends, this is how it happens. Forget about politics. You're not going to win the political battles because, Christians, you're losing the cultural battles, and you lose them again and again by supporting these films and these characters without critique. Christians are just accepting the culture and endorsing the culture and coming behind the cultural change, which is moving towards a pro-homosexual approach to life, and that eventually works its way out into the mass of evangelicals voting a pro-homosexual agenda in the 2016 elections. All right, my friends. Well, the flow of the zeitgeist is moving, and it's moving quickly. It's just taking these little characters that are considered heroes to little boys and girls around the country and turning their mentors into homosexuals. And that, of course, was very similar to what the Greeks did in the gymnasiums some 3,000 years ago. So we're just seeing a revival of paganism in the modern world, and I wish that Christians would be a little more sensitive to it. Now, Christians, of course, have endorsed How to Train Your Dragon. Many, many, many Christians are behind How to Train Your Dragon with zero critique. And many, many, many Christians are behind Harry Potter, despite his endorsement of homosexuality and witchcraft. So the zeitgeist is moving this direction, and it's hard to see any Christians really taking anything of a stand and producing any kind of a strong critique towards it. I'm not sure there's anything that's going to get in the way of Elsa getting her girlfriend, to be honest with you, Steve. I can't think of anything getting in the way of this. Frozen 2, the next film that, of course, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of kids around the entire world are looking forward to this film coming out in 2018. Frozen 2, no doubt, will include more endorsement of the homosexual lifestyle. Not sure that Elsa will get her girlfriend, but what's going to get in the way of homosexualizing the kids? I can't think of anything.
No, I don't think there is anything. The only weapon that we have is Christian homeschool parents who raise their kids in a biblical fashion, and that seems to, you know, be going down a little bit as well.
Anybody who opposes the homosexualizing of the kids is shamed for it and has been shamed, and very few people have stood against the homosexualizing of children in K-6 schools in Douglas County, Colorado, or anywhere else where the GLSEN program is constantly being pushed.
So are you saying that you've taken flack for this?
Well, all you need to do, all you need to do to prove the point that anybody who opposes the homosexualizing of the kids' agenda is shamed, all you need to do is check out Kevin Swanson and the word frozen on your Google search. And you'll see that there is somebody who attempted it. I tested it. I know it. Anybody who has the guts to stand up against the homosexualizing of kids in the present day will be shamed for it. And that means that the homosexualizing of kids will be, I think, wholesale happening across this country in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years. Of course, Elsa is going to get her girlfriend eventually. That's the way you destroy sexuality. That's the way you destroy an entire civilization. The entire social system of the United States of America is collapsing. But in order for the system to collapse, you've got to be sure that the destruction maintains a cross-generational vision. You've got to be sure that you have homosexualized 4-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds in order to destroy a civilization, because the destruction of a civilization happens over 2 or 3 or maybe 4 generations max. In order to bring a civilization down, you've got to homosexualize the kids. Friends, this is the nihilism of the present day, and thankfully there are some voices out there, that there are some pastors out there, there are some Christian leaders out there that are opposing it and are standing in the gap. And we hope other parents will do so as well. And I think the best way to do it is to be sure your kids are not attending the GLSEN schools or the NAMBLA kindergartens. Be back in just a moment with more in the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
Our freedoms are disappearing in the Western world. Big government tyranny is on the rise just about everywhere. Some Christians are going to jail in America for their faith, while others are fined $135,000 for refusing to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. Has freedom become a lost cause? Have we forgotten why brave men gave their lives for freedom in bygone eras? Discover the remarkable struggle for Western liberties over the past 2,000 years in Kevin Swanson's latest book, Freedom. In this seminal work on freedom from a Christian perspective, Kevin Swanson first defines the term and then traces the struggle for freedom through biblical times and church history. You will read the battle for the Magna Carta, the Scottish War for Independence, the Dutch War for Independence, and America's War for Independence, and the Bill of Rights. Order Freedom online today or download the free sample at generations.org to get a vision of freedom for Christians in the 21st century. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
And we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here today as we talk about what's happening with the zeitgeist. You know, the Word of God says, all those that hate me love death. So as we talk about the destruction or the death of a culture, remember, friends, it begins with the hatred of wisdom, which the beginning of wisdom was the fear of God. So those who hate the fear of God, and those who hate wisdom, and those who hate the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who came to earth in order to save us and to judge the world. Friends, if there is no fear of God, if there is no embracing of wisdom, there is an embracing of death itself. So the option is either to embrace Christ or wisdom or the fear of God, or to embrace death. All those who hate me love death. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 8. Okay, well, here's another instance of that, where societies are increasingly self-destructing. And The Economist magazine brings this out as a concern, because The Economist magazine still has some level of rationality and some sensitivity to the destruction of the modern Western countries. They're seeing it. It's happening. It's already happening. So all these proud nations that became these economic powerhouses and then forgot God, and that's largely Western nations that had something of a Christian heritage, these nations are imploding, their birth imploding, and their economies will not survive. And The Economist understands that. So that's why they write these articles, The Strange Case of the Missing Baby. This came out just yesterday in The Economist, which is one of the best magazines available, by the way, if you want a magazine that still has something over an eighth grade vocabulary, it still thinks somewhat rationally about things.
Eighth grade? Most of them are third. Yeah.
Yeah. And has a lot of facts and graphs, which are fun to read. Okay. Well, this one talks about the birth implosions across most of the developed nations. And the thing that surprised them is they understand that, yeah, birth implosions happen as the economies tend to fail in these materialist nations. And the reasons for that is because people do not want to sacrifice anything of their existentialist, self-centered, materialistic lifestyle to have a child.
Yeah, children are expensive.
Yeah, children are expensive, especially for parents that have to hire out all of the institutions to raise them. That's where it gets really expensive. If you have to hire out institutions to give womb to tomb security for your babies, your preschoolers, et cetera, they're going to be very, very expensive. Now, if you go the other way, the covenantal approach, and you integrate the generations, bring grandma into the home and raise your own children, you don't have to spend the hundreds of thousands of dollars that you have to spend when you bring in kids into the world, and yet you're trying to maintain something of a convenience lifestyle for yourself. Children do require a fair amount of personal sacrifice, and that's very, very hard for materialistic nations. And that's why, of course, the most materialistic nations in the world have the lowest birth rates, and the poorest nations in the world have the highest birth rates. That's why, because the materialist nations tend to be selfish pigs, okay? Now, again, we're talking about the average birth rate in these nations. We're not talking that there are some families that God has only blessed them with one child or two children, and that's it. God has closed up the womb for the rest, and that's all right. They love the children that God has given to them, and we ought not to covet each other's blessings. We ought to just appreciate what God has given to each and every one. But the point is that modern nations have cut their own birth rates on purpose for materialistic reasons. So that's number one. So the article brings out that, yes, as people in materialistic nations see their median income fall, they will lower their birth rates. And that's happened since the year 2000, roughly 2007 for the United States.
So is the converse true, though? Then as the nation recovers, does their birth rate go up?
Well, that's exactly the point of this article. The strange case of the missing baby. They say, well, we've had all these recoveries, you know, and yet the birth rates continue to implode. There has been no recovery of the birth rate. That's their point.
Okay.
There's been no recovery of the birth rate, even though it appears that some of these nations have recovered from their economic recessionary situation that happened back in 2008. Well, I think a couple of reasons for that. One is I'm not sure we have recovered. Certainly the median income has not recovered. Now, the job rate has, but somehow the median income hasn't recovered, at least in the United States.
That's why we need $15 an hour, right?
And remember youth unemployment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The young people, 18 to 28 years of age, tend to have the highest birth rate, or they have the ability to have children. And that doesn't happen when they're using birth control and when they're not getting jobs. If they're not getting jobs, they're not having kids. Yes.
Highest unemployment.
So that's the second problem. So the recession isn't over. The recession continues. The destruction of the economies of the Western world continues and will continue for the foreseeable future. But thirdly, you know what? People are as selfish as they've ever been. And I'm not sure they're coming to the point where they want to bring any more children into the world, because children always cut into your self-centered existentialistic lifestyle.
Right. If you don't love God, then you're not going to say that a children is a blessing from God. They are a hindrance to your own lifestyle. So people have a tendency not to consider, well, they don't consider life sacred in the first place, and therefore children are not a blessing or a heritage from the Lord.
They also make the point that the birth rate of millennials, of 20 to 24 year olds, has been dropping. In fact, it dropped by 200% since 1990. That's the steepest decline in birth rates in America or in the entire Western world. That's the 20 to 24 year olds. And also the 25 to 29 year olds has dropped significantly as well. The 30 to 34 year olds was somewhat on the rise until 2008. And that's been in decline since 2008. So the younger ones aren't having children, and they're having far, far, far less children than they did in 2000, which means that the millennial generation will see hyper birth implosions in that generation. generation and say goodbye to your 80 million baby boomers who, by the way, are in more debt and have less assets than any previous generation before them. And they're going to be looking out for handouts from the millennial generation and give me a break. It ain't happening, my friends. It ain't happening. You better come up with plan B for retirement over the next 30, 40 years. That's why FamilyChristianElderCare.org. We launched that about 3 years ago, and we hope that tens of thousands, if not tens of millions of Christian families across this country will be increasingly interested in the plan B approach to retirement over the next 30 years or so, because I'm here to tell you, socialism will eventually run out of other people's money, and it will happen under the millennial generation, guaranteed. All right, now, let's take a look at this other sub-article in The Economist. Very, very interesting stuff, because I was thinking that the immigrants that come into these Western nations would salvage the birth rate. As it turns out, just the opposite is happening.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, one of the things that was keeping our birth rate high was the illegal immigration from Mexico, and they were having lots and lots of kids, but now they're not.
That's not happening. It turns out you follow the flow. You join the zeitgeist. You get into the river. You attend the same public schools. You watch the same television programs, you're going to be just like all of the other people that surround you in these Western nations. These immigrants that come to America, their families will be ruined. Their sexuality will be ruined. Their birth rates will implode. Almost guaranteed, unless there are still Christians somewhere who are discipling the nations and teaching them to observe whatsoever Jesus has commanded in his word. Unless there are some Christian churches somewhere who are still saying, you know what? God's word provides a different approach to sexuality and to family than what we find in the zeitgeist around us. Unless Christian churches will disciple the nations. Friends, forget about the immigrants coming to this nation and somehow salvaging birth rates. It just isn't going to happen. Between 2006 and 2013, the fertility rate among Mexicans in America fell by 35% compared with a drop of 3% among non-Hispanic whites.
Wow.
So the point is, the non-Hispanic white birth rate has been falling. It's pretty, pretty low. You know, it's down there around 1.7,
yeah.
1.6.
Yeah, 2.1 in developed nations is replacement rate.
Right. But the Hispanics coming into this country, they've seen a drop of 35% of their birth rate because they've joined the zeitgeist. They're going to be like all of those around them unless they receive a different worldview by way of the Christian influence, the Christian message. And yes, you'll probably only hear of it from some radio program that's aired from a basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. So it's not going to be on NBC, CBS, or ABC. It's going to be in a little local church somewhere where the Word of God is taught and where the gospel is conveyed. Well, here's another chart, which I think is very instructive. This is Germany. You see what happens to the birth rate of the immigrants coming into Germany. It is now lower than the other Germans.
And the other Germans is really low. They're way below replacement rate, aren't they?
It is amazing what is happening to these immigrants. They are gung-ho on board. They have taken the zeitgeist, the worldview, hook, line, and sinker, friends. They have jumped into the river, and they are flowing at 147 miles per hour towards that waterfall. That's what happens to the immigrants that come to these nations. It's not as if these Muslims walk into these nations and say, hey, I'm just bringing my Islamic worldview and everything's going to be cool. No, they're turning into the same zeitgeist that is taught by the burned out humanists that still run these nations.
Yeah, so a lesson to Christian homeschool families, keep having those kids, because it's kind of like the rabbits who were caught under a haystack that a fox was after them. They said, should we make a run for it or stay here and outnumber them? So that's what we need to do.
Well, you know, it's interesting that increasingly pastors like Al Mohler and John MacArthur are taking a stronger position on this issue of birth control and contraception. Here's a recent comment from Al Mohler. We are clearly at a very important turning point, but you have to go back to the early 20th century when sexual revolutionaries largely funded an effort to separate sex and procreation, and that was birth control. Most Christians seem to think today that birth control is just something that came along as something of a scientific or medical development. They fail to see that it was driven by moral revolutionaries who knew that you couldn't have a moral revolution, you especially couldn't have a sexual revolution, unless you could separate sex and babies. And that's also what John MacArthur said in his famous speech given on July 19, 2015, following the Supreme Court decision Obergefell. He said, if you go back to contraception, you go back to where all this began. It is the product, admittedly, of the feminist movement. Go back through contraception. Now, when contraception comes in, you have sex without children. And friends, the highly effective forms of birth control are used primarily by mainline Protestants and evangelicals. In fact, the evangelicals use the highly effective forms of birth control like the IUD and the abortifacient contraceptive birth control pill more so than the mainline Protestants and the Catholic women. Evangelicals use it at a 74% rate. 74% of evangelical women in America are using the highly effective forms of birth control that include the abortifacient use of the contraception. Mainline Protestants at 73% and Catholic women at 68%. There's not a whole lot of difference between these religious sects in terms of their use of the birth control pill and the ID, but the evangelicals use it at a higher rate than all of the other sects in the United States. So I just point out that people are riding the zeitgeist. They ride the cultural zeitgeist. They do whatever the spirit of the age, the worldview that is foisted upon them by the media and by the educational systems do. They are just conforming to the world, whatever the world is telling them to do in terms of culture, in terms of media, movies, music, and birth control. They are on board with it. They don't see that we are not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our mind that we might prove what is that acceptable will of God. That's the point, that they're losing the sense of antithesis, that Christians really need to be contramund and they need to be set against the world. And we're not seeing that very much with evangelical women or mainline Protestants or with Catholics in our present day. So what's the application? The application is to just continue back in the Word of God, applying the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God to our lives. And the first and foremost thing we need to express is that Christians ought not to be creating hazardous conditions in the womb for their own children. Christians ought to be those who love their children and protect their children and provide for their children. Christians ought to be the ones who are willing to give up their lives for their children, for the cause of Christ, for the cause of his kingdom, rather than living their lives for themselves, which is ultimately the fundamental zeitgeist that is taught by the existentialist worldview today. Well, that pretty much wraps up this segment of the Generations Radio broadcast. The conclusion to the matter is, fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. The conclusion to the matter is, repent of your sins and seek salvation from yourself and from your selfishness and from your self-centeredness. Seek salvation in Jesus Christ and him alone. I'd encourage you also to our little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality. A little tiny book, but boy, it's a potent book on these issues. And you'll find it at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Keep the Faith on Sexuality. These are major issues. These are the battle line issues of the day. And I would encourage Christians to engage these battles in the area of sexuality and family. Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a little book that outlines a biblical approach to these various aspects of family, but also brings out the wisdom of 2,000 years of Christian leaders on the topic of birth control, sexuality, abortion, homosexuality, and other things. You'll find that little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.